started.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your love and kindness toward us. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and power in our lives and situations. Thank you for making impossible things possible. Thank you for solving our problems. Thank you, Father, for lifting us up above every limitation and opposition of the enemy. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for the battles that you have fought for us. And give us victory. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful, Lord, for destroying our lives, everything that you have not planted. Thank you, Father. We thank you for shining your light upon us and for exposing all the hiding places of the enemy in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us dominion over witchcraft powers, witchcraft forces. Thank you, Lord, for giving us dominion over witchcraft forces, serpents and scorpions, satanic powers, principalities in the heavenly places. Thank you for giving us dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Thank you for giving us dominion over the flesh and pain. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all the miracles and deliverance you have done in our lives through this program. We are grateful, Lord, for we know you're going to do much more miracles. Greater miracles in our lives. Even right now. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as we spend time in your presence right now, release your glory. Cover us with your glory. Release your power as well. Do great things in our lives through your power this morning. In Jesus' name. Touch every heart. Touch every soul. Touch every body and spirit. In Jesus' name. Let your power transform our lives and situations as we fellowship with you in your presence right now. Let our captivities be broken into pieces in Jesus' name. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered in Jesus' name. Let the oppressed be delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' unfailing name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to be looking at the scriptures. I want you to open your Bibles to Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verse 8 to 11. Acts of the Apostles, 14, verse 8 to 11. We're going to read now. Verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same had Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Praise the Lord. You can see what happened in this passage we've just read. Apostle Paul was preaching in this place. You know, that it was on a missionary assignment. Yeah, and this particular place is called this region or this country or nations are called Lystra and Derbe. Lystra and Derbe. Yeah, that was and as a matter of fact, this man, this impotent man, was at Lystra. Yeah, so he was preaching just as he normally would do. He was preaching and everyone were listening. So we don't know exactly where he was doing the preaching, but according to this passage, we know it's a public space. It's an open place. Yeah, that was where Paul was doing this preaching. And don't forget, Barnabas was also with him. Yeah, Barnabas was his partner, his ministry partner. Yeah, so he began to preach. And the crowds were there. So maybe it was a marketplace, or maybe it was somewhere in a very open and public place. Yeah. So he was preaching. And as he was preaching about Jesus, about the kingdom of heaven, about the power of God, there was a man who was crippled in his feet. That is, that man has never walked since he was born. He has never walked. So this man was listening. And because Paul had discernment, Paul was an example of a man full of discerning spirit. He has a very strong discerning spirit. So as he was preaching, he could discern in his heart, in his spirit, that this man has faith to be healed. Yeah, and that is my topic for this teaching. The topic is, do you have faith to be healed? Do you have faith? Or maybe I should put it this way. Though I'm not changing the topic, but I'm trying to speak directly to your heart. Do you still have faith to be healed? Yeah. Because perhaps some of you had faith some time ago to be healed. But maybe along the line, because of, because your problem seems to persist, and after some prayers and fastings, the problems refuse to go, and then you just concluded in your mind that maybe I'm not one of those people that Jesus wants to heal. Yeah, that was why I decided to personalize the question by saying, do you still have faith to be healed? Yeah. Do you still have faith to be healed? Yeah, but that doesn't change the topic. The topic is, do you have faith to be healed? Yeah, because this man who had never walked since he came out of his mother's womb saw some strange men. People were not from his town. People were not from that area. In fact, these people are Jews. He saw strange men come in, and they called themselves missionaries, and they were preaching a strange gospel. So he has never heard about Jesus before. This man has never heard about God, at least not the real God. I'm sure they have heard about many gods in that land. But they had not really heard about the only true God. Yeah. So this man had never heard about the gospel before. Yeah. He had never heard about Jesus or the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. So this was the first time he would be hearing anyone preaching about Jesus and about his kingdom. Yeah, that was the first time he will be hearing such message. First time. Yeah, first time. But there are people here among you. You can't even number how many times you have heard about Jesus, about his kingdom, about his power, about his greatness, about his strength, his dominion. Yeah, I'm sure there are people here who cannot even number how many times you have heard such teachings and preachings, because you have heard it over and over again. But this man only heard for the first time. And this man had never walked since he came out of his mother's womb. He only heard the message for the very first time. And the Bible says that Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. Yeah, so this man had faith to be healed. Even though he was hearing the message for the first time. Yeah, so my question to you is, do you have faith to be healed? Even after all the messages you have been hearing, all the sermons you have heard, all the preachings and teachings you have heard, do you have faith to be healed? Yeah, you know that Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is when you hear the word of God preached and taught, when you hear the word of God being preached and being taught, you should receive faith in the process. Now, if we should look at it with the human mind, yeah, if we are to look at it with the human mind, let's say for the past 5 years, I'm just assuming. Let's say you gave your life to Christ 5 years ago. And for the past 5 years, you have been hearing the word of God. Yeah, you have been studying the Bible for yourself. And you have been hearing teachings and preachings and messages of God's word. You have been hearing for 5 years. Now, what should happen to your faith? That means you should have a very big faith. Yeah, it means you should have a very strong and very large and very big faith. Why? Because you have been hearing the word of God for a long time. Yeah, since the Bible says that faith comes as we hear the word of God. So, which means the more you listen, the more you're supposed to have more faith. The more you listen, the greater your faith. The more and more you listen, the more faith you have or you should have. Yeah, but look at you all these years. You have been listening all these years. All these years. You have been listening. Listening to teachings. Listening to preachings. Even listening to the Bible. All these years, you have been listening. How come your faith is so small? And how come you don't even have faith anymore? Yeah. So the question still remains, do you have faith to be healed? Yeah, you know, I'm somebody that has a lot of passion. I have a lot of passion to see people get healed, helped by God, delivered by God, transformed by God, saved by God. I have that passion a lot, and sometimes I can say that I have that passion even more than the people themselves. Yeah, that is, I have passion for people to be healed more than the sick people themselves. Yeah, I have this very strong desire to see people's lives transformed. Yeah, and because of that passion, There was a day I was talking to the Lord. I said, why is it that I'm not seeing these people healed, despite that I strongly desire that they are healed? Yeah. You know, I was so concerned. So I was asking the Lord, why is that these people in the church, these sick people among us, in the body of Christ, why are there so much sick people, even though I know some one-on-one, and I've even prayed for some one-on-one. Yeah. I was asking the Lord, why is it that these people are not getting healed? Yeah. Why is that these people are not getting delivered? Yeah, because I looked at my whole life. I realized that my own faith is working for me. Yeah, whatever I have faith for always happen. Yeah, whatever I believe God for always happen. Whatever I trust God for always happen. So I was concerned, if my faith is working, so which confirms that the word of God is not a lie. Because if my own faith is working for me, that is the confirmation that the word of God is not a lie. I mean, if my own faith in God's word is producing results in my own life, as a confirmation that the word of God is not a lie. So I was concerned that why is it that these other people are not getting healed, delivered, saved, and transformed. Yeah, I wanted to know what exactly is wrong. And you know, the Lord spoke to me, and then he said, just teach them to have the kind of faith you have. Yeah, he said, teach them to have the faith you have. Yeah. So he said, you are a testimony of the wonders of faith. Yeah. Because you have seen my faithfulness through your own faith in me. So teach them to also have faith. Then they will also see my faithfulness. So that was how the Lord responded when I was so much concerned about people not getting healed and delivered. So he was showing me that there is nothing wrong with the word of God. He was making me to realize that the word of God is true and is forever true. Yeah. And he was making me to also understand that there is nothing wrong with the power of God. The power of God is real and is present here on earth, anywhere and anytime. So which means where something is wrong is our faith. Yeah. And I want you to know that there is a level at which the faith of another person can help you. Or maybe I should say there is a limit there is a limit to which the faith of another person would help you. Yeah, so if you are depending on the faith of your pastor or of your church leader or of a minister, you can be very much disappointed. Yeah, because God sometimes would expect faith from you yourself. Yeah, of course there are cases where the faith of someone else can, you know, and receive miracle for another person, especially in a case where maybe the person is unconscious or the person is dead and someone is praying that the person should come back to life, or the person is insane, the person is mentally healed, or the person is mad, and you know someone that doesn't have, that his mind is not okay, cannot have faith for him or herself, or somehow God just decided to show mercy and decided to bypass the faith of the sick person and only decided to walk through the faith of the person praying for that sick person. Yeah, but don't expect that God will always use the faith of your spiritual leader or pastor to do things in your life. If you don't have faith, there are so many things you will not receive from God. Yeah, so many things. And that is why in some churches, you will see the pastor prospering, but only few among the members are prospering. Yeah, because the faith the pastor has been teaching them to have, they are not having that faith. Yeah, but since the pastor is living by faith, the pastor is prospering. And so people will be saying, the pastor is stealing the money of the members, is using the money of the members to enrich himself. Whereas the kind of amount of money the pastor spent in a day, all of the members don't even have that amount. Yeah, because God himself is the one blessing the pastor because of the faith that pastor have chosen to live by. And then this same man of God has been teaching the people to have the same faith, but they don't want to have the faith. And in so doing, they are poor. their pastor have been teaching them to have the same faith that is working in his own life, but they refuse to have that type of faith. And the pastor kept on prospering, and they kept on getting poor and poorer. Yeah, so who is to be blamed? Is it the pastor? No. It's the people. Yeah, you cannot force people to believe God and to trust God. They have to decide whether they will believe or not. Yeah, they have to decide. Yeah, but I strongly desire that all of you here, we have faith. And not just small faith, but great faith. Great faith. Yeah, because God is no respecter of persons, and God is not partial. He will give you what you deserve. Yeah, the Bible says, whatever a man sow, that is what he will reap. Yeah. So you can't expect to have the same blessing that someone with great faith have, whereas you have just very small faith, or you have no faith at all. You can't expect to have the same blessing, that person have. It is not possible. Yeah, for instance, I have great faith, and then you have very small faith. You can't expect to have the kind of blessing that I will receive from God. Yeah, because God is not partial. Yeah, the Bible taught about, inside the Bible, you're going to see different kinds of faith, different examples of faith. The Bible talks about little faith, great faith. They are all in the Bible. You can have small faith, and you can have big faith. Yeah, you will see those places where Jesus would say, "O ye of little faith, O ye of little faith." And then you will see another place where Jesus will say, "Oh, this man has great faith. I have not seen this type of faith in Israel." Yeah, so you can have little faith, and you can have great faith. Yeah, and the blessing someone with great faith will have will not be given to someone with little faith. Yeah, so God respond to faith. Yeah, unlike the impression some ministries or churches are trying to give the people. They say, they tell the people, you don't need much faith. Yeah, because Jesus said, if you have faith, though we are still going to look at that passage as well. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as mustard seed, you can command a mountain to move, and it will move. Yeah, so those churches, those preachers, they say you don't need much faith, just have tiny faith as mustard seed. Yeah, and I will pray for you, and you're going to be fine. Yeah, so they are encouraging the people to have faith in man and not in God. They're encouraging the people to have faith in them and not in God. Yeah, because they claim that they have the anointing. Yeah, which I'm not saying they don't. Yeah, but there is a limit to which even the anointing on your pastor is going to work in your life. If there is no faith or there is just little faith in you, so the absence of faith or the shortness of faith will limit the potency of the anointing. Yeah, the absence of faith or the shortness of faith will limit the potency of the anointing. Yeah. So these preachers, they just tell you, come forward, I'm going to lay hands on you. Yeah, though sometimes I wonder how many people they want to lay hands on. Yeah, because sometimes we're talking of congregation of over 20,000 people. Sometimes congregation of over 50,000, 100,000 people. So how much of those people do you want to lay hands on? Are you going to be calling them one by one? When will you be done doing that? Yeah. If you as a minister, you want to lay hands on 100,000 people, when will you be done doing that? Can you even do that and still be alive and not, land in the hospital? Yeah, so they make the people, these preachers, they make the people believe in them and not in God. Yeah. So we should, ministers of God, we ministers should help the people to have faith for themselves. Yeah, than trying to convince them to have faith in us. Because God is to be praised, not man. God is to be praised. Yeah, so a real servant of God should work hard in teaching and in preaching and in discipling people, in training people to have faith for themselves, to develop faith for themselves, and not in trying to make the people believe in himself. Yeah. Yeah. And that is why many of these preachers, they keep struggling in ministry. Yeah, because they have made everything about themselves. They have made everything about the ministry about themselves. Yeah. And then they began to notice a lot of things not going well in the ministry, and then they began to struggle to fix those things. Yeah, because they have made their ministries about themselves and not about Jesus. Yeah, and there's no way they can fix the problems in ministry by themselves. Yeah, because they are not the foundation of the church. Jesus is the foundation of the church. So the church cannot be built on any other foundation but on Jesus. So if a man of God or woman of God is trying to build the church on his or her own foundation, or build the church on his or her own self, the church will collapse. Yeah. The real foundation that lasts forever is Jesus. Yeah, so it's a very wrong thing for preachers and church leaders to only desire that people believe in them and that people believe in the anointing upon them, instead of them believing in Jesus. Yeah. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding. Yeah, so as I said, earlier, the topic is, do you have faith to be healed? Do you have faith to be healed? Yeah, you know, faith. Faith is like cable wires. You know, if you look at the electrical setup in your house, yeah, you see that there are a lot of wires. For instance, you cannot have electricity in your house if a lot of wires were not involved. You cannot just connect your house to the electricity to the supply of electricity without cable wires. Yeah, the electrician will have to come and connect your house to the electricity supply through a lot of cable wires. Yeah. In the same way, faith is like those wires. Yeah. Faith is like those wires. So they are what we use to connect with the power of God. So you can liken the power of God as the electricity supply, and faith as the cable wires. Yeah. And I have said it before that the power of God is here on earth. It's always available. Just the way the law of gravity is always available. As some of you know, the law of gravity. Yeah, the law of gravity says whatever you throw up is going to come down. And if you continue to throw something up, let's say you continue to do that for the next 20 hours, whatever you throw up will continue to come down. So that law is constant. The same way that law is constant, that is the same way the power of God is constant here on earth. You know, before I used to think that the power of God, have specific times it comes. It comes around. I used to think that the power of God can sometimes be absent and then sometimes it be present. I used to think that the power of God has sometimes it used to appear. You know, that it's not always around. So it has sometimes it comes around. Yeah, that was the way I used to think before. Until God opened my eyes. Yeah, in all these things I'm sharing with you, not every preacher will tell you these things. At least not every preacher that we have now in these last days will tell you all these things. Yeah, why? Because they want you to depend on them. Yeah, they want you to always come to them for prayers. And, you know, always want to have to lay their hands on you before your problems will disappear. So that is why they will not tell you all these secrets that I am telling you. Secrets that I found through revelations, divine revelations, and divine encounters. Yeah, which I know if you follow these things, your life cannot remain the same. Yeah, but it's so funny that there are people in this ministry that still don't follow many of the things I teach. Yeah. Which are very rare. I mean, the things that I teach are very rare. Yeah. You will hardly hear about such things in other ministries. Of course, I still know of some men of God that preach the same way I preach or teach many things that I've been teaching. Yeah, but they are not many. There are very few. Yeah, but you are here. You are not taking these things serious. Yeah, if you continue to be unserious about these things, God is going to, take the knowledge away from your heart. Yeah, I don't know if you have heard where Jesus said, Even the people that have, it shall be taken away from them, and it will be given to those that don't have. Yeah, I don't know if you have read that place in your Bible. Yeah, where Jesus said, where Jesus was talking about the unprofitable servant who was given talent, and the servant did not use it. Yeah, Jesus said, the people that have, even the little they have, shall be taken away from them. And it will be given to those that do not, it will be given to those that even have more. Why? Because those ones, they are making use of what they have. So if all the things you have been learning from me, you are not using it, it will be taken away from you. And you will not even know when. And how it will just be taken away from your mind and your heart. And God will look for those that are ready to use these things, and you will give it to them. Yeah. So let me come back to what I was saying. I said before, I used to think that the power of God is something that just appear and then disappear. I used to think there are times where the power of God always show up. Yeah, but I was wrong, because God opened my eyes and He made me to realize that the power of God, I mean that His power is always present. That His power is in every way on earth. And is always available every hour, every time, every day, every moment. Just as the law of gravity or any other laws in nature is always available. Yeah. So when it made me to see that, in fact, there was a time He opened my eyes and I saw myriads of angels. You know what myriads of angels mean? Like uncountable angels. Innumerable angels. Angels that you cannot count them. You cannot count their numbers, because they are too many. So I saw these angels, I saw them encircle the whole head. Yeah, like surround the whole head. More, and as I saw that, what came to my mind was I want to remember that word. Yeah. What came to my mind was a word similar to dominion or invasion. I think that's the word. Invasion, you know, like they would say, soldiers invade a country. Soldiers from another country invaded a particular country, and then they conquered that country. Yeah. So when I saw those myriads of angels, thousands times thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, just like John the Beloved saw in the book of Revelation. He said he saw, you know, angels that are thousands times thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. Yeah, that was the numbers. So it's difficult to know the amount of, you know, not amount, to know the exact number of those angels. Yeah. So when I saw all of them surround the head, it's more like they laid a siege on the head. The word that came to my heart was invasion. That is, the kingdom of God have come into the head to take over this earth. So they are here. It's not like God is coming or the power of God is coming. The power of God is here. God is here. And the way He is here, it's not like He's trying to conquer. He has already conquered. Yeah. the kingdom of heaven has already conquered this earth. It's not, they are not trying to conquer. That was what I, you know, that was the understanding I began to get when I saw that a vision. So it's just like an elephant. It's just like an elephant looking at a small ant on the ground, and the elephant puts his giant leg how do I describe it now? Like the elephant put his giant leg a bit over the hand. That is, any small movement, the giant leg of the elephant will crush that hand. So but the giant leg of the elephant is already a bit above the hand. Yeah, that was exactly what I saw when I saw those myriads of angels. So it's not like the entire world is at the mercy of God. Yeah, and they have no choice. If God is going to do anything, they have no choice than to let him, or they'll be destroyed. Yeah, so the power of God is here, but God is waiting for people that will believe and pray. Then it will move. Yeah, then it will crush your enemies. Yeah, it will crush your enemies, just like the giant leg of that elephant would just easily crush the hand. So God is on top of our enemies, and is ready to crush them in a matter in less than seconds, if we believe he is. If we believe he is greater, and if we believe and pray, yeah. So the question is, do you have faith to be healed? Do you have faith to be delivered? Do you have faith to be transformed? Do you have faith to be saved? Yeah, that is the question. You know, sometimes I go to some places to minister, and I can discern the hearts. As I'm preaching, I can discern the hearts of the people that they don't have faith. Yeah, and some of them I'll be seeing in their hearts. They will be saying, this person, in their heart, I'll be hearing, you know, God have given me the ability to hear what people are thinking in their hearts. And I can even know it from afar. I don't have to be with that person. Yeah. I don't have to be with that person. I mean, maybe be physically close to that person to know what the person is thinking. I can even know it from a very far distance. And, yeah, maybe I'm in Nigeria, the person is even in another country. I can know. Yeah, and let's say I'm now close to the person. That would be very, very much easy. Yeah. Now, this is where I'm going. So I realized that as I'm ministering as I'm ministering to those people, I can discern their heart, and I can see that there is no faith in their hearts. No faith. And some of them in their hearts, they will be, you know, having these questions like, this person, we don't even know where it's coming from. When did God even call this person? When was this person called by God? When did this person even start ministry? Let him show us a sign to prove that he has anointing. You know, those kind of thoughts. Yeah, more like the way this person is talking is not even talking like someone that have the anointing or that have the power to solve my problem. Yeah, I could literally discern those thoughts as I look at their faces. Yeah. Yeah, I could discern so many rubbish things they are thinking. Yeah. Yeah, so some of them will be thinking, all kinds of things. All kinds of things. Yeah, many times I would just minister and just go. Yeah, because God only responds to faith. Yeah. So when there is absence of faith, there are a lot of things God is not going to do. Even though his power is so mighty in that place. Remember, when Jesus went to his hometown, the Bible says he couldn't do a lot of signs there. He couldn't do a lot of miracles there. Why? Because the people did not believe. Yeah, the people did not believe. Yeah, there are people that, looking at them, I can see faith in their hearts. And just very short prayer, they already have their miracles. Just very short prayer, I pray for them. They are healed. They are delivered. Why? Because they had faith. And there are these other people that their heart is so full of rubbish. And they keep thinking rubbish. And they are not even willing to humble themselves and believe in God. And because of that, God did not help them. So if you think that miracles is about how popular a man of God is, how popular a ministry is, if you think miracles is about how anointed the person that is, you know, that you are following, or the person that is praying for you is, you are very wrong. It is about, do you have faith? It will always be about that. Don't let anyone deceive you. It will always be about, do you have faith? Do you have faith. Yeah, many times I will see, you know, I would see the power of God so mightily present in a church meeting, and nobody in that meeting would be a partaker. Why? Because they don't have faith. Yeah, do you think God does miracles to show you that he has power? No. That is not why God does miracles. God is not doing miracles to show you that he's powerful. No, God is not doing miracles to prove to you that he's powerful. No, that is not why God does miracles. God is powerful whether you believe or not. Yeah, God is powerful whether you accept or not. God is great whether you accept or not. God heals whether you accept or not. God delivers whether you believe or not. So God is not trying to prove to you, yeah, that he can do certain things. He can do it whether you believe or not. Yeah, so he's not trying to prove anything to any man. He is God, whether you accept or not. Yeah, but he will be willing to prove it to you if you believe. Yeah, he will be willing to show it to you, how powerful he is, if you believe. But if you choose not to believe, do you think he will... Do you think you have that time? Do you think God have that time to be confirming to you that he's powerful when you don't believe? You know, if we believe, you know, because he's a faithful God, he will really want to show you that he's powerful. But if you choose not to believe, do you think you have that time? Yeah. When there are other things is done, I think you have the time to be, you know, trying to convince you to believe in him. Do you think you have the time trying to persuade you to trust him? Try to, you know, entice you to believe in him? God doesn't have that time. Yeah, so if you believe, it's for your own good. Yeah. You know, some people think if they believe they're, you know, I've met some people, they think by them believing in God, they're trying to do me a favor. Or by them believing in my message, my gospel, that they're trying to do me a favor. Yeah, but that's wrong, because the message is not even my message. Yeah, it's God's message, and whatever I preach is what I have believed, and it has worked in my own life. So by presenting the same gospel to you that you should believe, it is me trying to do you a favor. Yeah. It is me trying to show love. Yeah, not that. You know, some people, they want me to keep telling them, oh, come and join the program. Come and attend prayer meetings. Come and attend Bible study classes. Come and join the fasting. You know, come and join the fasting program. Come and join the teaching classes. Come and join the prayer sessions. Come and listen to, you know, to preachings. Yeah. You know, they want me to come and be doing that. Though there's nothing wrong in doing that. Yeah, but there's a limit to which I, as a person, would do that. Yeah, because some people, they don't have any heart for God. I would like to do that to someone that I know really love God and care for God, you know, and care about the things of God. Yeah, so they don't know that we are just trying to do them a favor. Yeah, so they think by inviting them to join programs, they think we are trying to do ourselves favor. Maybe they think we are looking for crowds, or they think we are looking for their tithes and offerings or donations. Yeah, they don't know that it is them we are doing a favor. I'm just trying to show you how many people think nowadays in the church and how they respond to the gospel. Yeah, they don't know that by believing in Jesus, they are doing themselves favor, not even the church, not even the ministry, or not even the pastor. They don't know it's themselves they are doing a favor. I pray that God will deliver our generation. Yeah, there are two more passages I'm going to read for you before we pray. Look at John. Open your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 46 to 53. John chapter 4, 46 to 53. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Verse 48, then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, here my child die. Now, I want you to take note of, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Yeah, and many people have misinterpreted that verse, so I want you to take note of that, please. Yeah, because the meaning of that verse is not what many people are teaching today. Now, verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son living. Verse 52, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. Verse 53, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. and himself believed and his whole house. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to that 48. Now I want to read this verse 48 in another translation so that you can understand what it actually means. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 48. Now, I want to read from NLT, a New Living Translation. Or maybe I should start from 47. John chapter 4, from verse 47. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Verse 48. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" So it was a question. Yeah, Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" Yeah, so you can see it was a question. When you know, King James Version said, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." That was the question. Praise the Lord. Yeah. King James Version said, "Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." So it was a question and it was a rebuke. Jesus was rebuking him. Yeah. Because he wanted him to live where he is and follow him to Capernaum to pray for his son who was about to die. So Jesus was like, "Can't you believe that I can heal your son even without following you? Yeah. Can't you believe that God can heal that son right there even without my physical presence?" Yeah, that was what Jesus was rebuking that man for. Why? Because Jesus wanted to heal that person without going there physically, which eventually happened. But Jesus needed to correct the faith of that person. I mean, his faith was not, though he had faith in Jesus, but that faith was too small for the kind of miracle Jesus wants to do for him. Jesus doesn't want to go to Capernaum, but he wanted him to follow him to Capernaum. Yeah, because he doesn't believe that the son will survive except Jesus follow him. Though he believed Jesus had the power to save his son's life, but he doesn't believe that the miracle can happen if Jesus is not physically there. Yeah. Can you see that even when your faith is small, is a problem? Yeah. Can you see that? Yeah. Can you see that even when your faith is small, is so little, even that is a problem? Because in some cases, that would just amount to nothing. Yeah, because it will not be able to fix the problem. So Jesus was actually condemning that faith that he has and wanted him to have more faith. Yeah, because at least he had faith that Jesus can do it. But he doesn't have the faith Jesus was looking for. Do you have the faith Jesus is looking for? Do you have the faith Jesus wants to walk with? Do you have that faith? Yeah. Do you have the faith that will make you deserve the miracle Jesus wants to do in your life? Do you have that faith? Yeah. So Jesus was rebuking him. He said, will you never believe in me except you see signs and wonders? Because the faith of that man was just hanging on the signs and wonders. He had many wonders Jesus has done. Yeah, he has heard about many miracles Jesus has performed. So his faith was just hanging on signs and wonders. But he doesn't really know the ability of Jesus and how powerful he is, even to operate at a far distance. Yeah, he doesn't really know him. So if I should ask you, is your faith only hanging on signs and wonder? And if you have not seen a sign of wonder, you will not believe that God's power is present and can do miracles in your life. Yeah. Some people's faith is just on signs and wonders. So if they hear that signs and wonders is happening, signs and wonders is happening somewhere, they run to that place. And they don't even know whether God is right, is there, whether God is in that place, or whether God is the one doing the signs and wonders. And some of them, they don't even know whether Jesus is with the man of God that is doing the signs and wonders. Yeah, because in Matthew chapter 7, we saw that someone can work miracles and yet have no relationship with Jesus. Yeah, we saw that in Matthew chapter 7, that a man can work miracles and yet have no relationship with Jesus. Jesus said they will come to him on the last day, they will say in his name, they cast out devils, they do great wonders, and then he will tell them, depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquities. So someone can be walking iniquities and yet still perform signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Yeah, so you don't know if the church you are running to, because you heard that signs and wonders are going on there, you don't know if the person there is a worker of iniquity. You don't know if the person had no relationship with Jesus. Yeah, you don't know if it's a dead church. Yeah. So my question is your faith only hanging on signs and wonders? And if you have not seen any sign, you can't believe. And you can't even believe that God is right there with you to heal and to deliver you, then something is wrong with your faith. Then you don't have the kind of faith that Jesus wants to walk with, even right now. So you have to correct that faith. Yeah, recently I was talking with a brother, and he had some challenges. I had met with him face to face. Then later because he was desperate for a breakthrough, so he began to talk with me again. He began to say, he really need God's intervention. He wants his problem to come to an end. That he would like to meet with me again, so that I can pray for him again. Though I've met with him once, one-on-one, but he was saying he would like to meet with me again. So I said, well, you might not need to meet with me again, for God to solve these problems. Yeah. I said I will tell you if you need to meet with me again. So I told him, this is what God wants you to do. Believe him. Yeah. And focus on your spiritual growth. Focus on knowing him. Yeah. And everything will be fine. So you don't even need to, meet with me again. Yeah, I've prayed for you. Just believe. And you will have the breakthrough. Yeah. So he said, okay. Yeah. And he followed the instruction I gave him. He began to have faith. And then he began to focus on his spiritual growth. You know, and all of a sudden, the problem was solved. He was shocked. So he came back to me saying, wow, I got the job. I said, praise the Lord. He was shocked because the way he was talking was exciting. I could see the excitement. But it wasn't new to me. Yeah, I was not surprised. But he was so surprised. Yeah. And then I said, praise God, you got the job. But don't be distracted. Remember what you were doing before you got the job. Continue to do that. Focus on your spiritual growth. Grow in faith. Yeah. So I said, don't let the job, the excitement that you got the job, stop what you were doing, you know, that brought the job. Yeah, because I knew when I prayed for him that God have answered. But there is something he needed to do. He needed to correct his faith life. Something was wrong with his faith life. And when he corrected it, you know, he saw the manifestation of the prayer I prayed for him. So my point is that if we believe, we will see the glory of God. Yeah, so the problem is not about whether the power of God is available or not. The power of God is always available. The problem is always with our faith. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I was making the same mistake some years back. But I thank God that he delivered me. So now I know that, I know that God's power is always with me. I just need to believe. Yeah, so you also need to accept that. I pray that you will accept that. In Jesus' name. Before we pray, let us look at another scripture. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 18 to 22. Matthew 21, 18 to 22. Now, in the morning, as he returned, Matthew 21:18-22. Now, in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward, forever. And presently, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Praise the Lord. You can see, Jesus told them that what he did to the fig tree is just a small thing. Yeah. That is the summary of what Jesus was saying in that passage. He was saying them that what I did to this fig tree is just a small thing. Yeah, just a small thing. So you can even do much more than this if you have faith and doubt not. If you have faith and doubt not, praise the Lord. Do you have faith to be healed? Do you have faith to be delivered? Or do you still have faith in God? Yeah. He said, if you have faith and doubt not, you can even command a mountain to be removed and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. So Jesus was showing them that you can even do what appeared to be more difficult and impossible, you know, things that are scientifically and logically or mentally or humanly impossible. Jesus was telling them that you can even get such things done with faith. Yeah, with faith. Jesus didn't tell them to believe in one anointing oil or one holy water. Jesus was asking them to believe in God. Yeah. So even if we pray on oil, we pray on water, your faith must not be in the oil or in the water. Your faith must be in God. And as your faith is great in God or strong in God, then God can manifest through the water or oil. Yeah. So because some people's faith have been destroyed through these physical elements that that God uses his servants to pray upon. Yeah. So don't even let those physical elements affect your faith. Your faith must continue to be in God. I looked at this generation and I see that we are so far behind in the wonders of God. We have not even seen enough wonders yet. There are a lot of wonders that we should have seen that we haven't, because we don't have faith for those type of wonders. Though some of us have faith for some miracles, but we don't have faith for some type of miracles. Yeah, because some type of miracles demand some type of faith. Some types of miracles demand very high level faith. And because we don't have those type of faith, we are not seeing such miracles happening around us. Yeah, I pray that your faith life will improve. Yeah, before you point finger to another person and start questioning whether that person have the power of God or not, or whether that person is called by God or not, why not just focus on your own life? Because you can carry the greatest power of God. You, that you are listening to me right now, you can carry the greatest power of God. And you can manifest it here on earth. Yeah, so personalize your faith life. Yeah, stop trying to be at the mercy of somebody else's faith. You grow your own faith. Yeah, grow your own faith. Yeah, because you, yourself, you can carry the greatest power of God right here on earth. So why not build your own faith? Yeah, why not build your own faith? Yeah, so that you can see the glory of God. I'm going to stop here. So we're going to pray some prayers before I will now pray for you and on your water. The reason why I took time to teach is because that is where the secret to your healing and deliverance and transformation is. It is in the Word. It is in the Word of God. Yeah, it is in the truth. Yeah, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the secret to your freedom and salvation and healing and deliverance and transformation is in the Word, is in the truth. Yeah. So don't get tired. Whenever you are hearing the truth, don't get tired of hearing the truth. Always be excited when you are hearing the truth. Yeah, I'm always excited to hear the Word of God. Now, you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, I want to have the type of faith that you want to work with in helping me, in healing me, in setting me free, in transforming my life. So, Father, I want to have that type of faith. Help me to have that faith. open your mouth and pray like that. Pray like that. The lower your faith, the lower you will get, or the little you will get. Say, Father, help me. Help me to have the type of faith you want to walk with in doing your wonders in my life. The type of faith you need from me to help me. Father, help me to have that type of faith. The type of faith you need from me to deliver me, to heal me, to save me, to bless me, to transform me. See, Father, help me to have that type of faith. Don't let anyone deceive you. I know the issue of faith now is hardly talked about in churches today. People hardly talk about faith anymore. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. Say, Father, help me to have the type of faith that you are looking for to do your miracles in my life. The type of faith you are looking for to perform your promises in my life. The type of faith you need from me so that you can do your works in my life. Father, help me to give you that type of faith. Help me to have that type of faith. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. We have prayed. Amen. We have two more prayer points. You're going to pray. You're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, Father, deliver me from every deception. Every lie and deception that is affecting my faith life. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, Father, deliver me from every lie and deception. Yeah, it's a lie that you have to meet. Meet with a man of God face to face before your problem will be solved is a lie. Yeah, it's a lie. Except the Holy Spirit Himself tells you that. Yeah, except the Holy Spirit Himself tells you that. You have to meet that person face to face before your problem will be solved. There are so many lies we have believed, and it's affecting what the power of God wants to do for us. So many lies. Yeah, it's a lie that a miracle must have happened before before you experienced it. Yeah, what you are asking, a miracle don't need to have happened before. You can trust God for something that has never happened before in history. Who says that what you should trust God for must be what has happened before? Who says that? Yeah, it's a lie to think that God cannot do what he has not done for someone before. You know, what God cannot do for you, what he has not done for someone before. That also is a lie. Ask God to deliver you from all those lies. All those lies that is affecting your faith. Yeah, it's a lie that diseases, you know, that some diseases are incurable. It's a lie. Yeah, it's a lie. There's no disease that is, no disease is incurable with God. Yeah. And God has never spoken that some particular diseases are incurable. God has never told that to anyone. Ask God to deliver you from all those lies that you have believed and is affecting your faith. Say, Father, deliver me from every deception and lie and lies I have believed that has crippled my faith. Deliver me, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The last prayer point. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, help me to grow in faith to the point where I walk in your power every second, every minute. Say, Father, help me to grow in faith to that point where I walk in your power every second and every minute of my life here on earth. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. If the power of God is always present in us and with us, that means you can walk in that power. You can actively and practically walk in that power in every second. In every second. Continue to pray. Say, Father, help me to grow in faith to that point. Help me to grow in faith to the point where I walk in your power every second, every minute. Help me, Father. Pray. Don't let Satan rob you of your blessing. This blessing is already yours in Christ Jesus. Pray. pray. Say, Father, help me to grow in faith to the point where I function in your power every second. It's about faith. Yeah, it's about faith. And faith produces realities. When you have that faith, you can operate in God's power every second, every minute. Help me, Father. Give me that type of faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you now. And also pray your water. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this hour. We thank you for your presence and power that is here with us. Thank you for everything you have made us to see and understand and learn. You have made us to learn a lot and to see a lot and to understand a lot. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to have the type of faith you need from them at this time, so that you can show them your glory and power at this time. Father, help everyone here to have such faith. In Jesus' name. O Lord, I ask that with your fire, uproot every lie and deception that is in the hearts and minds of your people. Every lie that have crippled their faith in you. Father, uproot such lies right now in Jesus' name. Every lie in form of science and technology. Every lie in form of human senses. Every lie in form of culture or habit or character. Every lie in whatever form. Every lie in form of medical reports. Every lie in whatever form that is not allowing the faith of everyone here to rise and produce victories and wonders. Oh Lord, I ask that you remove those lies right now from their hearts and minds. In Jesus' name. I pray for you that you shall believe the unseen God above the problems you are seeing with your physical eyes. I repeat, I pray for you that henceforth you shall begin to believe your God that is unseen above the problems and issues in your life that you are seeing. In Jesus' name. I pray on on the water you have presented to the Lord right now. I decree that the power of Jesus possess this water right now. In Jesus' name. I repeat, right now, in this very moment, in this very minute, let the power of Jesus Christ possess the water you have right there. In Jesus' name. Because the power of the Lord is right there as well, where you are. So let that transformation happen right now. Let the water become extraordinary and supernatural to heal sicknesses, to remove demons and darkness. Let the water with you right there be transformed into the power of God to change your life, to give you victory over darkness and every work of darkness. In Jesus' name, let your water transform into the power of God to remove all forms of pollutions, all forms of pollution in your spirit, soul, and body, to remove all forms of diseases and growth or swelling that is not of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so I'm going to round off the program. Yeah, don't forget, we are fasting beginning of next month. So be prepared. The time is closer now. Get ready for the fast. Remain blessed.